Welcome to the Insightful Nurse Leader. This podcast is focused on assisting nurse leaders become effective managers and change facilitators. Hi, everyone. Welcome to our 22nd episode of the Insightful Nurse Leader. This is Miles Perlia, and joining us today is Jennifer Stevenson. She is the manager of an outpatient pediatric setting. She spent the majority of her career in pediatrics. She is passionate about population health and advocacy. She recently graduated with her MPH and hopes to impact health equity and policy for the pediatric population as they are a vulnerable group. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Glad to have you here. So talk us about what drew you towards pediatrics.
So I always enjoy seeing kids smile and laugh and seeing them play. And I was like, I want to be able to make sure that I can have a role in this going forward and what I'm doing with my work. So I actually went to college undecided and decided to switch into the nursing major. I was going through it, but I was like, nursing seems cool, but I'm not sure what I actually really want to do just yet. And then senior year, I had my pediatric clinical, and that's when it clicked for me. And I was like, this. I enjoy doing this. Like, yes, kids are going through lab work, they're having procedures, but they're still finding a way to smile or laugh or still try to have, like, a good day. And I was like, this feels good to me. I want to help them have the best experience while they're in the hospital, going through a really rough time.
That's awesome. You know, I admire that focus because, you know, for me, my background is in the ED or emergency department, and we do see some pediatrics as well. A fair number of that, but I must say that pediatrics or, you know, women's and children are really not my area of expertise. Mm-hmm. And I do have a four-year-old, so I do appreciate the patience.
Yes, and, definitely a lot of patience. You know,
and everything that involves with that. So kudos on you. So what are the current challenges in the pediatric field as we face in healthcare today?
Oh, there are many. If you have to think of right now, we have an antibiotic shortage. So you may bring your child to see their PCP, and all of a sudden they give you a med, you go to the pharmacy, they don't have it, they can't fill it. That leads to more frustration. There's also Tylenol shortages. You may go to the store because your kid has a fever overnight, trying to get some Tylenol, pick it up real quick, you don't see it on the shelf. So that leads to more frustration. Mm. And also, I know people watching the news. We see RSV on the news a lot, getting a lot of media coverage. So a lot of misinformation around that. People saying, did my child have RSV? What should I be doing? Should I be getting the medication? I'm really concerned. I'm not sure what I should know or shouldn't know. So that creates a lot of hysteria. Overall miseducation on people being like, I saw this on Instagram. I saw this on TikTok. What should I be doing? So seeing a lot of that as well. And trying to stay up to date with vaccines in general, where it's like a huge push from them now. So it's like, should my child be getting this? Are they behind? Are they late? Do they actually need it? Just a lot of competing priorities going on with pediatrics right now.
Right, right. And you know, the highlight of it all, as you mentioned, is really the talk about vaccinations, right? Mm-hmm. We are in flu season and we're still not over the whole, you know, debacle and vaccination and all that. So how has this impacted your practice as a professional, especially in a vulnerable group, like, you know, pediatric patients? Because truly you're dealing with the parents, right? Who have, you know, obviously have own differing views and all that. How has that impacted your practice and how have you adapted to still be able to take care of patients?
I think it definitely makes you question your own internal biases. One thing I believe is you shouldn't be forcing your views on other people. So you may have a family member come in saying, I don't want to get vaccines at all. You can ask them why and give them information to educate them. You may have them come in and say, they're going to get this shot on this day and they're going to do this and be all for it. We just have to be like, okay, just so you know, if we do this this way, this is the proper order. This may be a side effect that you see coming up, just so you're aware of what's happening. So it's more of a letting families know whatever way they decide to go, here's information about it. You can make your decision. We're going to back whatever you decide because you're the caregiver. But from evidence-based practice, this is what's best. From a community health population, this is what's best. And you do it that what you will.
Totally agree. And really honoring that informed consent.
Yeah.
For patients and their caregivers, have you changed strategy as far as how you approach patients or their parents as far as those who have, you know, differing views on vaccinations? And, you know, how have you, you know, navigated that tough conversation?
I think going in without a I'm right, you're wrong mindset makes a difference. Coming in more of like, hey, I see you, let's assume you decide to refuse the vaccination. I see you denied this. What's your reasoning behind it? Or I see your little hesitant before you do this. What questions do you have? Or if I can't answer, do you have the doctor come back in here and answer your questions really quick? Or did you read something before coming in that made you feel a little bit uneasy? Like what prompted your hesitation right now? So if it's something that's more of a, I'm not sure about this, but I heard this and you can combat that with evidence, that's great. Or if it's like for religious reasons or medical exemptions, I choose not to do this. And it's like, okay, if that's what you choose to do, that's fine. But just so you know, this is some ways to stay safe out there. If you're not going to vaccinate, you can try this. If you change your mind, come back, make an appointment, we'll be here for you. When not a, you change your mind, well, your child's doomed. All right, that's it. Like, you never want to go with that approach.
Agree. I love how you said that, really, you know, coming at with a mindset that, you know, not a right or wrong, you know, that sense of duality, but truly that being inclusive in that regard, that you're having that the utmost respect all throughout the way, it is a really good mindset to have. So I appreciate you for sharing that. What challenges are you facing now as a leader in light of challenges that we have or we're currently facing and continue to face perhaps the next year or years to come?
I think there are many challenges. In my time at bedside, I think the challenge was I just want to get through my shift, go home, that's it. You punch out, the day is done. But now in regards to management, it's like there could be something happening at various points of the day, whether it's staff burnout, people are like, I'm just here for my shift. There's nothing else I want to give you right now. I'm just going to get through today. I made it through a pandemic. I'm battling RSV. Vaccine questions coming up left and right. So making it through staff burnout. Also trying to get patients in to be seen, but not having appointments to give them. That's really frustrating right now. Where it's like, you're calling, my child is sick. Can you come in today? Actually, no, we can't. We don't have a slot for you. Can you come in tomorrow? So dealing with that negative frustration as well. Or just overall, people feeling like, my kid is sick. I'm seeing the news. You're not helping me. And it's like, it's not that we don't want to, but whatever resources you do have right now, they are used up. So we're trying to do our best to get creative to try to get you all in to be seen.
Right, right. And I'm pretty sure, you know, across the country, there's been huge push on telehealth, right? Do you also see that as a viable alternative? And how has that helped you guys?
I think it's definitely helpful. But with pediatrics, it's a little harder to use that. Because one, getting a kid to sit still for that appointment is a little difficult. Or you can't really look at mucous membrane that well, see if they're hydrated or not. Or it's like, is the Wi-Fi connecting really well? I can't really see, like, are you really cyanotic? It's just that is that a different hue on the screen? Like, what's happening? So I think with pediatrics, in person is definitely the way to go. But if you can't see them in person, at least do a televisit. At least you get some type of eyes on them to know what you work with and see a work of breathe and see if there's any type of distress going on. It's better than being saying, you know what, can't see you, but hopefully tomorrow you'll still be here. So if you could try to squeeze the televisit, go for it. But I would definitely think in person is the better way to go.
Agree. Right. You want to really check the ears and, as you said, mucous membranes, do your palpation, check for rashes and all that. I totally agree. So, Jennifer, you recently jumped into the leadership role.
During the pandemic.
And, you know, I must say, as a leader who stepped down from a, you know, permanent leadership role, I'm very curious on what motivated you to jump to the leadership role, given that we're facing the time where people are actually stepping back, stepping away from the stress or the things that's outside of our control, especially nurse leaders, because we've seen a lot of frontline nurse leaders step out from their role, step down or retired early. And you stepped in. And that's admirable. And I wanted to know what was in your mind when you made that decision?
That's a big question. So in my time at bedside, I feel like I was having an impact, but I feel like it was more isolated. I wanted to have more of a broader reach. So I was like, I'm going to get my MPH. I want to be able to help communities. I know I'm passionate about children. I want to be able to implement things that can give them as much support as possible. So as a bedside, I was like, okay, I can do so much here, but in a higher capacity, I can do a little bit more. So now as a nurse manager, it's like, okay, I can implement changes to policy to help when patients come in. I could help get more patients set up, be like, let's do our schedule like this on a certain day. So we get the most patients scheduled back to back, also have a break in the evening time. And I felt like being in a position of management and leadership, I had more of a say over what was happening for the patient population versus being told what's happening and then having to adjust to it.
I admire your positivity on that one. So obviously you're true on what you have explained about that role. How did you overcome that, you know, that dilemma of, well, I'm going to be short-staffed. I may not have the resources. I may not have the, you know, enough training, what have you, because, you know, most leaders have vacated the role. How did you overcome that dilemma and still pursued this route?
I think that's a daily work in progress, to be honest with you. I think any type of leadership role you step into is going to be a learning curve. There's going to be a time where you're like, I'm not sure about this. I'm just going to keep going and kind of fake it till you make it, for lack of a better term. But find people who are like, I like your leadership style. If you were in this case, what would you do? Or drawing on like, hey, in school, we went over this. I had this project. We went over this scenario. Let's try it out. Or seeing something and being like, hey, staff, I know we started going to do this. What's your feedback on it? What do you think? You've been in this role a long time. I'm new to the institution or I'm new to this role. What have you seen in the past? What has worked? What have you tried out before? And just really going from a team-minded approach versus a one-woman army coming and trying to change the world. It's more about what's the culture here? What do you do? What are the challenges? What supports do we have? Let's all bring everyone together and try to come up with the best support we can for our patients.
Very nice. Very nice. Very insightful. So let's talk about the other big challenge in healthcare right now, which is staffing.
Yes.
Right? So how has that impacted the pediatric world? I know all over the country, we've seen a lot of upheaval, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm not, you know, very much well-versed on the pediatric side of things. How has that impacted your area of care and, you know, and what do you see now for the next year or two?
I would say PD nurses are definitely a little burnt out right now. Like every year we go through RSV, but I feel like this year is one of the worst years we've ever had with that. So it's a constant level of like compassion fatigue, where it's like you want to care for these little humans so much, but each one takes so much out of you because you want to give them your best. So imagine that doing day after day after day, back to back, and having new concerns come in or new changes in stats or new changes in parents being concerned. So it's definitely a constant level of like, I want to give you my best, but I'm spent right now. So I'm going to take some time to recharge, come back and give you the best I have. So I think nursing the pediatrics practice a certain level of self-care. And I am big on mental health days. So if you need to have a day for yourself to just be like, you know what? I had a rough week. Can I just take a day? Absolutely. I think travel nurses right now are a wonderful thing to have. They are coming in when there's been a dire need and being like, I can give you 13 weeks. During that time, I'll pick up whatever you need. After that, I'm all set. So I think just trying to get creative with like travelers coming on board or trying to get people who will maybe pick up an extra shift if they're able to. Or people be like, you know what? I really just need a day, but I'm coming on a different day to make it up. So everyone trying to be flexible and try to get the best thing we can for our patients, because end of the day, we all care about the kids. So yes, it's hard right now. We're like, if we don't come into work, who's going to help the kids? Because pediatrics is a very specialized field. And not everyone is able to relate to the kids in a certain way. Because a lot of people think of it as, oh, their kids, they're sick. I can't do that. I can't do that. But it's like, you're there to make them better. So if you're going at the mindset of like, I can help this, why not?
Very nice. Very nice. Well, thank you for sharing that. So you mentioned earlier, you have a passion for population health and advocacy. Can you tell us more about how your involvement or your engagement in improving population health?
Definitely. I think getting my public health was a major step into that. With nursing, the focus is more of a one-to-one approach. Public health is more of a community-based mindset. So I think being able to make programs to be like, all right, for this patient population, how can we help you all? Whether it be like a vaccine clinic, or whether it be expanding hours in the evening, the patients come in and ask their questions, or setting up different teaching sessions. So ways that we get more people to come in and receive information versus a one-to-one approach, that's it, start a new one-to-one build. If it's more of a, hey, everyone, we're going to have this on a certain day. You all show up, you come in, we'll educate you, answer all your questions, tell your friends what you learned, here's information passed out to the community. And being in the community, I think that's a great thing to do.
Right. And you know, there's a lot of programs right now around the country, right, where, you know, health systems or different healthcare organizations are, you know, trying to address the social determinants of health. Because I think a big part of that too is in different parts of the country, it's been implemented, and I'm not quite sure, I'm not following about the measures of success in that regard, because since it's a very large endeavor, what do you think are, you know, good measures of success, and what existing barriers still do we face in accomplishing a good population health in communities?
That's a big question. I think there are many barriers. I think you have to look at, a lot of kids can't choose or don't choose where they're born into, with their families. So they can't determine their housing system. They can't determine where they go for their education. So a lot of times they're in places where it's more, I'm being viewed this way based on my race or based on how I identify. So trying to compare our own internal biases, so we're not treating kids like, you should be this certain way. If you're not this way, I can't help you. So it's more of a, hey, little human, you're showing up. I'm going to do the best I can to help you. You need help with your housing. It may not be something I can do, but let me direct you to this resource, this social work, or this person. You're struggling in school. Let's try to get you a education plan set up. Let's see what social work can do to help you out. Or your healthcare is going down a little bit low. Let's see what your school nurse may have seen and told us about. Or let's call your PCP and get you an appointment. Let's try to get you in a little bit sooner. So trying to be a little proactive versus just letting things fall to the wayside and saying, well, things have happened now. It's bad. We can't fix anything. Mm-hmm. Public health is more of a preventative measure. And that's something that I feel like is very important in pediatrics.
Correct. Totally agree. And what are your thoughts on, you know, on the other side of things, what are the countermeasures on that as far as the population accountability on, like, yeah, we have the resources we give you, but what is the, you know, what's the counterbalance in that from a public health standpoint on, you know, there is some onus to the person receiving care and benefits in that regard, as far as getting that commitment to be able to take care of themselves appropriately?
I think a lot of things you have to consider is that some people may feel a certain sense of, I know you say I can access this resource, but can I actually access it? You're saying it's accessible to me, but can I actually go? So giving them a sense of empowerment of like, hey, this is hypothetical resource A. When you go there, make sure you just do this, this, and this. Make sure you're going to be all comfortable. You're going to be set up. Instead of just being like, I'm just not going to go. It's not going to work out. Like giving them a sense to be like, what makes you feel nervous about going? When you show up, it's going to be good for you. They're going to help you with these things. It's not a matter of taking control away from you. It's more of empowering you. Well, if you see that you need help, you're really great here, but here you and your family need help, go visit this resource, get comfortable, get back on your feet, and then let us know what you can do for you after that.
Very nice. Very nice. Thank you for sharing that. So going back to the challenges in healthcare that we face, you know, a lot of people are facing burnout right now, right? And you mentioned a very, you know, effective strategy about being flexible and scheduling. What have you found to be another way of supporting your team in addressing compassion fatigue, especially that you're dealing with the pediatric population?
I think giving them a space to vent where they can be like, you know, this patient is very difficult today. I want to be the best nurse I could, but they just kept yelling or something like this happened. Or parents were really frustrated and it got me a little flustered. So giving them that space to be like, this was challenging. This is what it was. Let's shake it off and go on to the next patient. Or this is what's challenging. The weekend's coming. Great. Even taste to be like, hey, fellow nurse, I know you had this happen last week. What did you do? What made this better for you? Let me bounce ideas off you real quick. Just giving a real open platform, I think, has been very helpful to combat burnout so you don't feel like you're so isolated in it.
I totally agree. So what do you think people need to be mindful when caring for children or adolescents?
I think being mindful of that most things are new for patients and their families, especially if it's a baby. If it's your first child, there's some things you just don't know. So you can't look at a parent and think, how do you not know that? It's like, there's no handbook or pamphlet to say, hey, new parent, know these things. Like some things really just get thrown in. You're like, hey, pediatrician, is this right? Should I be doing this? I'm not sure. And yes, you can look on Google and see certain things, but there's a difference between having like a one-to-one, someone you feel safe and trust with your child, to actually be like, hey, this is happening. What should I do? I think also a certain level of getting the right information and knowing that people are trusting us with their kids, and that's a big responsibility. So like steward that well. Don't just think about it as like, this is the job and paycheck. I'm checking in, I'm checking out. Like, this is a human life that you're shaping. That's an important thing and a heavy thing to bear, but also a great honor to really have.
That's awesome. So how does advocacy work in terms of dealing with pediatric population?
I say it's a huge part. Kids are definitely a vulnerable population. They need to know that people are out there fighting for them. And they need to feel a sense of safety. So that can be regards to housing, like I said earlier, education, healthcare, or whatever they need to make sure that their needs are being met. If there's no one out there saying like, hey, this is an issue, this is a challenge I'm seeing, things are going to stay as they are. You need people who are going to say, I noticed this was happening. Why is this? What can we do to make it better? Or, hey, you're really strong in this area. How can we collaborate to make this system better for kids? Well, if no one's really thinking about it from the mindset of this can improve, things will always remain stagnant.
Agree. Now, you know, it's obvious your passion for population health, you know, pediatric patients. Looking at this from a larger scale, right? We're looking at next year's and how we, you know, help our communities. What do you think from a larger scale is needed from a health policy standpoint to help advance, you know, actually focusing on communities and truly, especially those rural areas, right, in the country where either there's not much funding or not much staff going to these areas. What do you recommend for, I guess, from a large scale standpoint in helping advance population health in communities in larger scale?
I think talk to people in the community is helpful. I know in theory you can make it a plan and say, this is going to help community A or B or C. But the people in the community don't think that's what their major need is. Your program is not going to work. You have to ask them, hey, you work here or you live here. What are the challenges you're seeing every day? Look for what the common thread is and then work on that. And then after you get some buy-in, be like, okay, we fixed this issue. We were thinking about fixing this. What do you think? And get people that actually can help you get that up and moving off the ground, get some stakeholders involved in it. And really, I want to have a mindset of we want to make this better.
Mm-hmm. Agree. What is your future outlook for your career 5-10 years down the road?
Oh, that's a big question. I definitely like kids. I like maternal and child health. So things relating to policy or advocacy are things that I want to spend my career working on. So if I can make things better for children or their families in whatever capacity that is, whether that be healthcare, whether that be addressing other social determinants of health, I definitely want to do that.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for this very insightful conversation. How can our listeners connect with you?
So I am on LinkedIn under Jennifer J. Stevenson. And I'm also on Instagram, jj.stevenson_.
Well, thank you so much. I'll make sure to share that with our listeners. Well, thank you for this time and have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To view the complete show notes and all the links mentioned in today's episode, visit milesperillaconsulting.com/podcast. And before you go, make sure you follow or subscribe to this podcast so you can receive the latest episodes as soon as they're released. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave a rating and review in Apple Podcasts. Thank you again for joining me. This is your host, Miles Perilla, and you're listening to The Insightful Nurse Leader. I'll see you next time.